Hallelujah. Well, I got a story for you. Praise God. A young fellow got out of the service, and he had saved up enough money, and he bought him a brand new Jaguar. And, man, he was excited. He liked the car and everything. And he got out on the open roads in Oklahoma, and he wanted to see how fast it would go. So he opened it up, and, man, he was cruising along, and he topped a little hill, and he looked, and he seen a Oklahoma State Trooper up the road, and he knew he was caught, so he just hit the brakes, and he slid right past him. And the state trooper come up, and he said, "Son, do you know how fast you was going?" He said, "It was 163 miles an hour." And the guy just knew, "Man, I'm fixing to get a ticket." And the state trooper said, "Let's look up under the hood. What kind of motor you got in there?" And he was fascinated with the car and the motor. And so, but instead of getting a ticket, they went down to the coffee shop a little bit further, and they sat down and drank coffee and talked about cars. Glory to God. He showed him grace. The only thing that would have made it better is if the state trooper would have bought the coffee. See, that would have been real grace. Glory to God. It was mercy when he didn't write him a ticket. It would have been grace had he bought the coffee. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the way you love us, for the way you watch over us. In the name of Jesus, Father, right now, I just ask that you expand our ability to receive your word this morning, Lord. That you expand our ability to understand your love, kindness, and your tender grace, Father God. Father, we thank you right now, Father. In the name of Jesus, give each and every one of us an open heart, Lord, a heart ready to receive from you. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. In the name of Jesus, I ask that you use me as your instrument. Put your words in my mouth. Put your thoughts in my mind. Father, get me out of the way that you might be able to speak through me accurately and effectively. Lord, that this very morning we might understand your grace in a deeper way. And Father, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, We started studying on grace on Sunday nights, and then it worked its way into Wednesday night. And so I really feel like, you know, there's a lot of people that don't come on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, and I felt it'd be a shame to leave out those that come on morning. And grace is so important. It's golden from Genesis to Revelation. Praise God. And so we really, really and truly, I think most Christians have very little understanding of God's grace. We know that there's a definition that is unmerited or under favor. It's about as far as our understanding goes. It means God has undeserved favor for me, that I don't deserve to be saving me anyway, and that's about all I understand of grace. Well, grace is so much more than that. In fact, if you're not continually surprised and amazed by grace, then really your understanding has stopped. And grace, the understanding of grace goes so deep that our little finite minds will never be able to grasp all of it. So if you're not constantly amazed by the grace of God, that means your understanding has come to an end. And it goes so much deeper than what we can understand. So we ought to continually be amazed by it. That's why that song, Amazing Grace, glory to God. God's grace is so amazing that there's no way we'll understand all of it. Praise Jesus. You know, the little story was a small, poor example of grace, but it's about the best we can get. Hallelujah, glory to God. So I want to go into grace. We're gonna look, and Paul calls it the gospel of grace. And pull that first scripture up with the Jimmy. Acts 20:24 says, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Again, in Galatians 1:6, glory to God. Hallelujah. He says, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel." So grace is not a doctrine. People call it doctrine. When I was studying it and I was looking up different commentaries, they want to call it a doctrine. But grace is not a doctrine. Grace is a person. It's Jesus Christ. Glory to God. It's the gospel of Christ. It's a gospel. It's good news. And really, when it says gospel, that means it's nearly too good to be true news. That's what it means. It's nearly too good to be true news. So grace is a gospel that's nearly too good to be true. Oh, glory to God. Praise Jesus. And the more you understand grace, the more you understand that it's almost too good to be true. Praise Jesus. Because really and truly, we all deserve to die. We all deserve death. And God's grace, we're saved by grace. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. It's nothing you can do to earn it. We're saved by grace. Glory to God. So it's a gospel. Hallelujah. And who's the gospel about? Jesus Christ. Jesus is the gospel. He is the news. This is nearly too good to be true. Hallelujah. So the gospel is a person. It's not a doctrine. It's not a teaching. It's a person. Glory to God. It's also the character of God. It's part of God's character. God just can't help it. It's part of his character. It's who he is. He's full of grace. Glory to God. Go to Ephesians 1. Verse 3. Ephesians 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence." Now, the New Living in verse 7, go to the next one, Brother Jimmy. The New Living in verse 7 says, "He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins." He said he is rich in what? In kindness and grace. It's part of his character. Verse 8 in the New Living says, he has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. Glory to God. He didn't just save us from our sins. He saved us from our sins, and then he turned around and gave us all wisdom and understanding. See, that's what grace is. Grace just never quits giving. He just keeps on giving. If he had just saved us from our sins, and that would have been it, that would have been plenty of grace right there. But he said, look, I got more. He said, not only am I going to forgive your sins, but I'm going to give you wisdom and understanding. Oh, glory to God. And then verse 9, back in the New King James, says, "Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him." Verse 11 says, "In him also we have obtained" what? "An inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will." It's God's nature to give. It's his nature to bless us with his grace. Not only does he forgive us of our sins, he gives us all wisdom and understanding and an inheritance. Come on. That's a whole lot more than what we realize is going on. We get forgiveness of sins, we think we made it. But he said, there's so much more. He said, I got wisdom for you. I got understanding for you. I got an inheritance for you. Glory to God. And it's going to last for eternity. It's going to last for eternity. It's going to keep going. But I'm going to tell you something. That wisdom and understanding is not for after you die. It's for right now. There's an inheritance for you right now. Glory to God. It's his nature to give. Praise Jesus. Grace is just part of God's nature. Go to chapter 2. Look in verse 1. And he says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the other. He said, once you was a heathen one time. And I know some of you got saved when you was a little one, but I'm going to tell you something. You walked in all these ways, even though you might have got saved when you was young. And some of us didn't get saved till we was older. And we sure enough walked in the world's ways. Oh, glory to God. I ain't going to point you out, Brother Richard. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Praise God. I told Brother Richard that since he didn't come last week, I stored up some stuff for him for this week. Oh, I love Brother Richard. He's thick-skinned. Glory to God. Where am I at? Verse 3? Is that where we at? He says, among whom also, we done did that, Brother Jimmy. Verse 4. But God, look right here. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. How many of you know you're sitting there right now? You're sitting with Christ right now. That's how God sees it. He sees you sitting with Christ Jesus. Come on, that goes deep. Oh, praise Jesus. He says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It's his nature. Grace is his nature. Love is his nature. Kindness is his nature. I'm telling you right now, God is not mad at you. Come on. He's done took all his wrath out on Christ Jesus. He ain't mad at you. Now, there's times where he might be disappointed in you, but he's not mad at you. He's full of grace. He's full of mercy. He's full of kindness. He's full of love. And see, we walk around, we just walk around defeated often. Because we don't understand his grace. We don't have a deep understanding of who he is. He's full of grace. He said, I've showered you with my grace. I've showered you with forgiveness. He said, now I want you to have some wisdom and some understanding about my grace. Glory to God. See, the more you understand grace, the more you'll walk in his power. The more you'll be able to walk with your head up. God's not counting your sin against you. Once you come to Jesus Christ and you make him the Lord of your life, even though you fail after that, even though you sin after that, God's not holding it against you. He said, my grace covers that. Glory to God. You can slam on your brakes and you can slide right past him. But he don't have a ticket for you. He wants to see what's under the hood. Come on. Glory to God. He said, my grace covers every bit of that. Praise Jesus. We go around and we counting our sins against ourselves. We're thinking about all the things that we've done. When we try to go to the Lord, we can't actually enter into the presence of God with boldness and confidence because we're remembering all the things that we've done. We're thinking about all of our sin, everywhere we fall short, and we can't operate in the grace of God. But I'm going to tell you something. The power that you need to walk in is in understanding the grace of God. If you're always walking around thinking about sin, if you have a sin conscience, then you don't have a grace conscience, and you can't walk in the things of God. When you understand the gospel, the grace of God, it releases power in your life. See, every one of us in here, none of us is exempt from this. Every one of us, at least we should, want to operate in more power. We talked about, I think it was Wednesday night, about, you know, Lord, increase our faith. And when Jesus in Luke 17, he gave a story, and he said here, he said, it's not the quantity of your faith. It is the one that you have the faith in. It is in the power of God. It's not how much. He said, with just a grain of mustard seed of faith, your faith can be real small, and you can tell a mulberry tree to get up and go, and it will. So it's not the quantity of your faith. And then the next story he told to demonstrate the increasing of faith was about that you have to depend upon the grace of God. God will never be in debt to you, but you'll always be in debt to him. And it's his grace that increases your faith. The understanding of grace will increase your faith. The more you understand grace, the more you love him. And the more you love him, the more you'll trust him. So it's a matter of understanding grace to increase faith. That's why we're saved by grace through faith. He said, you got to understand my grace. The reason why we're defeated is we don't understand grace. We just know that he said he would save us. God is unchangeable. Go to James 1:17. If you don't have it highlighted in your Bible, you should have. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. He says God never changes. He's not wishy-washy. He's not this way today and that way tomorrow. Glory to God. If he's full of forgiveness today, then he's forgiveness tomorrow. If he's full of grace today, he's full of grace tomorrow. And he's going to be that way the next day and every day after that. He's never, ever going to change. Hebrews 13:8 says, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He ain't never going to change. You may change, glory to God. Your neighbor may change. Your spouse may change. Your children may change. But God never will. He's full of grace. He's been full of grace since Genesis, and he'll be full of grace at the end of Revelation. Never going to change. He loved you the day you got saved. He loved you the day you was born. He loved you before the foundation of the earth. And he's going to love you every day of your life. You see, the only reason people go to hell is for rejecting God. It's not because they sin. It's from rejecting the gift of God. It's from rejecting God's grace. I'm going to tell you something. Grace works right in the middle of sin. Where it doesn't work is in the middle of unbelief. Glory to God. See, you can sin and God's grace still operates in your life. You can still operate in the power of God. It's not that he condones sin. It's that his grace covers sin. But where he can't operate is in the middle of doubt. Oh, glory to God. Praise Jesus. He said, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. It works in the middle of all of your trouble. Oh, praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. I'm glad his grace works like that. I'm glad it's not depending on me. Glory to God. There's nothing I can do to earn grace. It's nothing you can do to earn it, to deserve it. You can't buy it. You can't do enough good stuff. His grace is a gift. And like any gift, you got to unwrap it. And the way you unwrap a gift of God is to understand it. Hallelujah. And I told you, grace is a person. Go to Galatians 1. I want to show you in Scripture, it's not just my ideal that grace is a person. It's in the Scripture. Look in Galatians 1, look in verse 11. I made known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through what? Through the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not a doctrine, folks. This is not something that man came up with. It's not even something that can be taught. It only comes by revelation of Jesus Christ. He is grace. The more you understand Jesus, the more you'll understand grace. Grace, the understanding of grace comes by revelation of Jesus Christ. I can't teach you grace. I can do my best to explain it. But it only comes by revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, the thing I've learned is the more I know Jesus, the more I love him. The more I know what Jesus has done for me, the more I love him. I can't help it. The more I understand him, the more I love him. I love him. You know, in marriage, it should be that you love your spouse more tomorrow than you did today. Glory to God. You after years and years and years, you would think it would kind of fall off a little bit. But the truth is, the more you're around them, the more you love. I love Jackie more today than I did 12 years ago. Glory to God. Praise you. And it should be that in 12 more years, I love her more than I do now and from the beginning. Praise God. Even though we know stuff about each other that we didn't know, and some of it was hurtful, but still, we love each other more. Jesus done nothing to hurt us. You can't find one instance where Jesus done anything in your life to hurt you. So the more you know him, the more you should love him. And the more you love him, and the more you know him, you can't help but trust him. Praise Jesus. Glory to God. What was we at? Galatians 1:11. Go to John 1. We're looking at the fact that Jesus is grace. Grace is Jesus. Look in John 1:14. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Hallelujah. John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus is full of grace and truth. Oh, praise God. Look at verse 17. He says, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through" who? "Through Jesus Christ." Jesus is grace. Glory to God. Praise Jesus. Go to Titus 2. Titus 2, verse 11. How many of you know that you can't get nothing from the preacher? You've got to get it out of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Verse 11 in Titus 2 says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age." Who's that sound like? Anybody. I mean, that's a question that you can answer. Who's that sound like? Jesus Christ. Y'all gonna make me ask and answer my own questions? Glory to God. This ain't one of those churches where you can't say nothing. You can stand up and shout if you want to. Verse 13 says, "Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works." Jesus Christ is grace. He's appeared to all men. How many has Jesus appeared to everybody in here? I haven't physically seen Jesus, but Jesus has changed my life. Jesus has appeared to me. Jesus has made himself real to me. He has appeared to me. And because of him and because of grace is the reason why I began to live a godly life. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. See, you can't live a godly life without Jesus. You can't live a godly life without the grace of God. A lot of people call the grace of God unmerited favor, and it really is. But if you look it up in the Greek, the definition is, it's a divine influence of the heart. It's a divine. Who lives in our heart? Jesus. the Holy Spirit. He came to make his home in our heart. Glory to God. Jesus said, me and the Father will dwell in your heart. And grace is, if the definition is, the divine influence on the heart. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. It's undeserved favor. You don't deserve the influence on your heart. It is undeserved favor. But the Greek definition is a little bit different. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's more than favor. It's more than favor. It's the only way you can live a godly life is by grace. Hallelujah. Go to John 14. Look at verse 9. We've seen that God's character is grace. Jesus is grace. And look right here. John 14, 9 says, Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Jesus and the Father are the same. Jesus came to show you grace in a person. Matthew 20, we look at Jesus explaining grace. Hallelujah. For the king, y'all ready? Verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into the vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. So they went. Again, he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? They said to him, because no one has hired us. He said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive. So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And when those came who were hired at about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more. And they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to these last men the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things, or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first, and the first last, for many are called, but few are chosen. The first ones, the ones that went out first, felt like they had worked for their grace. They felt like they had earned extra. God said, you can't earn it. You can't earn it. The ones that went out last, they went out and they received grace. They didn't work for nothing. They didn't deserve nothing. Jesus said, it's the Father's goodwill to give you grace. It's his desire to give you grace. God wants to shower you with grace so much. He wants you to understand. He wants you to know that it's not about your good deeds. You see, your good deeds should be out of grace, not to get grace. Because he has showered you with grace, you do good deeds, not to earn his grace. You can't earn it with good deeds. I can preach till I'm blue in the face. I can go to prison 7 days a week, preach here, do all kind of good stuff, give all my money away, do all the things that we think that Christians ought to be doing, and I still haven't earned grace. God just gives me grace. I should preach because of the grace. I should give because of his grace. Come on. I should love because of his grace. Oh, praise Jesus. We have a problem with love because we love according to how you love. You love me right, I love you right. You don't do me right, I'm fixing to get you. I don't love you no more neither. Oh, come on. That's why divorce is the rate of divorce is so high, because you don't love me the way I love you. So I'm out of here. Grace says, even when you don't love me, even when we were sinners, yet he died for us. That's grace. When you would have nothing to do with Jesus, when you was living the way you want to live, he still died for you. He died for all of those who would never receive him. He died for them. That's grace. Glory to God. I turned and went the other way when I was 14, 15 years old. I went the other direction, yet God's love for me, it never failed. He never quit loving me. He loved me right back around, full circle. Glory to God. That's grace. And I'm going to tell you something. If I go leave from here today and I slip, and I leave here today and I sin, I may have to pay the consequences for that sin in the natural, but God's grace still covers me. Glory to God. I can leave here today and do something stupid and then go right around to Father and get right back into his throne room because of his grace. I got to repent. But because of his grace, I can come right back into his throne room. So many of us, we do something we know we shouldn't have done. And then we try to crawl into the throne room of God. He said, I don't want you crawling in. I want you to come in. I want you to understand my grace has already took care of this. I've already covered it. See, David understood God's grace. He was a man after God's own heart. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter 21, and I'll try to stop there. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. I think I'm in verse 13. Right here, we'll pick up in verse 13. I'm going to give you a little bit of the story before we get there. David took a census. David took a census, and he shouldn't have. And because he took the census of Israel and Judah, God sent Gad to give him some choices. Hallelujah. Gad's the seer. Hallelujah. Y'all ready? Verse 11 says, so Gad came to David and said to him, thus says the Lord, choose for yourself either 3 years of famine or 3 months to be defeated by your foes with the sword of your enemies overtaking you, or else for 3 days the sword of the Lord, the plague in the land, with the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the territory of Israel. Now consider what answer I should take back to him who sent me. And David said to Gad, I am in great distress. Please let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are very great, but do not let me fall into the hand of man. David understood God's grace. He understood that the Lord was full of compassion, full of mercy, full of forgiveness. Let me fall into the Lord's hand. Let it be the Lord that punished me, not men. Don't let me fall into the hands of man. Father, I know that you're full of mercy. I know that you're full of grace. You're full of loving kindness. You're full of compassion. You deal with me. Because I know whatever you do will be fair and just. Oh, glory to God. David understood God's grace even before Jesus Christ. How much more should we understand it? How much more? Jesus went to the cross. He didn't have to go to the cross. He went to the cross on his own free will. No man put him on the cross. It wasn't the Jews that put Jesus on the cross. It wasn't the Romans that put Jesus on the cross. It was you and me. He went to the cross for his intense love for each and every one of us. He's pursued us all of our life. He stayed on the cross for you and I. He rose from the grave for you and I. It's grace that kept him on the cross. It's grace that got him out of the grave. Praise Jesus. When you begin to understand God's grace, you can operate in the power of God. See, Jesus understood God's grace. That's why everything worked for Jesus. That's why he could heal the sick. That's why he could do all the things that he did. All the miracles that Jesus did was because he understood the Father. He understood the character of God. He understood God's grace and his mercy. He understood that he wanted Richard to be healed so he would lay hands on the sick and they would be healed, because he understood God's grace. Today, the church operates in very little of God's grace. The reason why sick people aren't getting well, because people don't understand God's grace. Come on. The reason why so many church folks are living in bondage, they don't understand God's grace. I'm going to tell you something. Church folks are going to get mad when you start understanding grace. Church folks will get mad about it. The first workers, they was mad because the other ones got grace. Glory to God. Tonight we're going to look at the prodigal son, and the brother got mad because the baby brother got grace. Glory to God. Job went out to preach, and he was mad because the people got God's grace. Church folks are going to get mad at you about God's grace. When you begin to understand it, you begin to operate in the power, church people are going to get upset. If you ain't upset in church people, then you don't understand God's grace. You're going to mess up people's religion. Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you for Jesus Christ. I thank you for that shed blood, Lord God. I thank you, Father God, that you're expanding my ability to understand your grace. Lord, I thank you that your grace is so powerful, Lord. It is so great that it's just so hard to wrap my little mind around it. But I thank you, Father, bit by bit, you're showing me more of it. Father, help me walk in that grace. Help me walk in the understanding of your mercy, your loving kindness. Lord, that I might know you better. That I might understand all that you have already done for me. Oh, Father, I love you.